Okay, we're up to Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav of Maseches Peyos. So today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to do Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav as well as Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. So Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav tells us the following: the olam hunosin mishum peya upatim in amaisos ad shei mareach. Let's say you forgot to take peya, meaning you don't take peya, you leave unharvested a corner of the field. But let's say you went and you harvested your whole field. So now you have all this grain. Is it too late? Can you still leave something as peya? So yeah, you can still leave off part of it as peya up until you smooth out the piles of grain. Once you've done that, it becomes chayv in maestros, and you still have to take peya from it, but it's chayv in maestros. So at that point, you're not going to have any of the benefits of peya. And you also have to give away whatever that you don't have trumas of maestros as hefker, and it's pater from maestros until you take peya. And you could feed an animal, stuff that trumas of maestros is not taken from, meaning up until the point where you smooth out the piles. Once you smooth out the piles, then you're not allowed to feed tevel to the animal. Meaning, when you smooth out the piles, that's when it becomes tevel. Tevel means that the stuff is now obligated in Trumas Maestros. You would think that as soon as you harvest it from the ground, it becomes obligated in Trumas Maestros, but that's not the case. It's only when there's a Gemar Malacha that it becomes obligated in Trumas Maestros, and that happens when you smooth out the piles. Prior to that, it's not even tevel. So you can feed it. So we have a Din Mitrabana that we're not allowed to eat from it even before the miruach, but we're allowed to at least give it to our animals before the miruach. Rabbi Akiva says you can even take from the threshing floor and plant it, and it's potter from Shumas Maestros because it didn't go through miruach yet, so you're allowed to even replant it. Now the Mishnah talks about a couple of other halachos that also relate to the miruach, to the smoothing out of the piles. If a kohen or levi took tevel on the threshing floor, they can keep the trumas or maestros that they're mafresh from it. Meaning, normally the trumas or maestros go to the kohen or levi anyway. So a kohen or levi who buys tevel normally has to take trumas or maestros, but the kohen could keep the truma for himself. The levi could keep the maaser rishon for himself. Ad shei mareach. But that's only until the point that that the pile is smoothed out. If a kohen or a levi buys tevel after he already smoothed out the pile, then he's going to have to be mafresh to trumas maestros, and he's going to have to give it away. The kohen is going to have to give the truma to another kohen. The levi would have to give the maaser rishon to another levi. They wouldn't be able to keep it for themselves. And this is a din midrabanan, because the chazal were concerned that a wealthy kohen or a wealthy levy would buy up all of the tevel, and they would leave nothing for the poor kohanim and for the poor levim. So in order to make sure that that doesn't happen, Chazal instituted that if a kohen buys a tevel after it's already had miruach, he has to give away the truma. And that, now, if he does it before the miruach and he's going to be mafresh anyway, what's the point of being mafresh if he's going to have to take it for himself? So there is a very important din. There are two dinim in Trumas HaMaestros. There's the din of the hafrasha that takes away the shem tevel, where you designate the Trumas HaMaestros as Trumas HaMaestros, and then there's the din of a nesina, the actual giving of the Trumas HaMaestros. It's a separate mitzvah, right? That's what the Nedib Yehuda writes in a tshuva, that he came up with that chap, that the din of Truma is actually two separate mitzvahs. There's the hafrasha to take away the shem tevel, and there's the nesina, and he says, and with that chap, I was able to answer a question that always bothered me. When it comes to the shear of how much truma you have to be mafresh, the shear is a chita kolshu, poteres kolakri, afilu chita achas, poteres kolakri. Even one stalk of wheat will be enough for truma. Yet, when it comes to giving truma to a kohen, it says that you have to give a contained nesina. So the Nadavida said, I don't understand, which is it? Is it chita achas that's good enough, or do you need to give a reasonable shear, a contained nesina? So he says, must be there two mitzvahs, that the mitzvah of hafrasha only requires chita achas, but when you're actually at the stage of giving to a kohen, then you have to give a kedei nesina. So you have the same idea over here, that the kohen, even when he's going to keep the truma for himself, he still has to be mafresh it, because there is still a mitzvah hafrasha to take away the shem tevel. Then hamakdish upodah, if a person is makdish tevel, and then he redeems it, so chayv b'maisos, he still has has to give maisus from it, ad she mareach the gizbar, as long as he redeemed it before the gizbar, the guy who's in charge of whatever belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, as long as he redeemed it before that guy smoothed out the pile, before the gizbar smoothed out the pile. But if it was it still belonged to Hekdash at the time of the miruach, then even if you put it afterwards, it becomes potter from maisus, because the Hekdash is not chayav in maisus. The Beis HaMikdash doesn't have to give maisus. Okay, so now we move on to Perek Bey's Mishnah Aleph, and this Mishnah is going to discuss, we know that you're supposed to leave peya from the corner of the field, you're supposed to leave a little bit of the field off. Yeah, but what defines a field? Let's say I own splotches of land all over the place. Is each one considered an independent field? So ve'elim afsik and peya. The following things separate the crops into different fields as far as peya is concerned. Hanachal vashalulus, if you have a stream or an irrigation canal that runs through a field, that separates it into two separate fields, or if you have a private or a public road that runs in between the field, that means you now have two fields, ushvil rabim ushvil yachid, or a path that's used by the rabim or yachid. As long as it's being used both in the summertime when there are crops that are there to be harvested, and in the wintertime when the crops are still growing and they're not being harvested. So a shvil is narrower than a derech. A derech is something that's much, much wider. A shvil is just for a person to walk by foot. A derech would be like where you would take a horse or a wagon or something to go in between. Generally speaking, people don't walk through a field when the grain is still growing, because they don't want to ruin the grain that's growing in the field. So if you have a path that's used even when the grain is growing, then you know that's not a field. That's not part of the field. And that's why it divides the two sides of that path as two separate fields. V'habur v'anir, if you have land that's left unplanted, that you don't do anything with, or you have land that's plowed but not planted, v'zera acher, or you have a strip of land in the middle of your field that's growing something else. So you have a wheat field, but then right in the middle of the wheat, you have barley growing right in the middle of the, you know, and then on both sides is wheat. So in all those cases, that divides the field into two. That would be enough to make the two sides of that into two separate fields. V'akotzer l'shachas mafsik divra meir. If someone cuts down some produce that's not ripened to use just to give to animals as food, so that separates the field into two also, according to Rameir. The Chum say no, it only separates the field if you plow, if after you cut l'shachas, after you cut that little not fully grown, not fully ripened produce, you then plow that strip of land, then it's going to break the land into two pieces. But short of doing that, it's not going to break the land into two pieces. So that is the Mishnah Aleph. Now, it happens to be the Tos Yom Tov writes that when we said v'habor, that which is left uncultivated, so the Rav said it means asada she'ina zerua, and that's what the Rash writes as well. So the Tos Yom Tov writes umashma milishonam daha harusha miyasavya, that maybe it's not planted but it is plowed. But he says, I don't understand, if it's plowed, hainu near, we have that as another example later in the Mishnah where the Mishnah mentions near, how could you have a bor veha near? So he says varam pirish bor. It means that it's not only not planted, it was never worked at all, it is left totally desolate, it wasn't plowed, it wasn't planted, nothing. That's what bor is, and the near is land that was in fact plowed. Now, what if you have something else growing in between? So we said, if you have zera acher, that's also enough to be mafsik between the two fields. So if you look at the Tosfos Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he writes, v'kasav harash v'nirali shatzaruch sheyehe orech hahefzik mikitzei hasadehu el katzeyu shlo yishar bo kadeh sheyavar habakar v'kelev dahinu arba amos b'li hefzik. He says, what do you mean growing in the middle of the field? It has to mean that the strip of land that's growing something else extends from one side all the way to the other side of the field, meaning it can't just be like a little square in the middle of the field where the equipment that you're going to use to work the field can get around that area and you could still harvest and work all the area that's growing that one, you know, the wheat all around it. It has to be that it extends from one end to the other end where you don't even have four amos in between. So to quickly review what we did today, in Mishnah Vav we said that we went through how many ruach makes all the difference in the world, that when you smooth out a pile, that's when something is no longer eligible to be used for peyah. And we said other halachas that relate to miruach as well. And then in Mishnah Aleph of Perek Beis, we discussed that which would divide a field into two separate fields, which would generate a chiyuv of peyah on each field independently, each field separately, where you wouldn't consider it to be one field. And the only machlokas was hakotzer l'shachas, that if you harvest for fodder in the middle of the field, is that enough to be mafsik between the field? So according to Rabbi Meir, yes, and the Chum say no, only if you also plowed it after you were kotzer, only then it will be mafsik the two fields from each other. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis.